Operation Exodus, Prophecy Being Fulfilled by Gustav Scheller. Introduction. To understand this book, it is first of all essential to understand God, his nature and character, and his eternal purposes for Israel. Out of love, he chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and promised them a land of their own. Genesis 12, verse 1. And chapter 15, verse 7. It is clearly defined as being from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Genesis 15, verse 18. That promise has yet to be fulfilled in its completeness, but one day God will ensure that his covenant is kept in full. We live in an age of equality. Some people even consider it unfair that God should choose the Jewish people as his special people, or indeed, promise them their land forever. Such a promise was made to no other nation. God also foreknew that they would be in Egypt 400 years, and told Abraham so.
Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. Genesis 15, verse 13.
God promised that afterwards they would come out and enter the promised land. This was achieved through Moses and is the first Exodus. It is important to understand this, as God later refers back to it in describing a second Exodus, which clearly confirms there are two, one past, one future, i.e., after the prophecy that postdates the first Exodus. When we trace Jewish history, it is important to understand God's covenant with the Jewish people, especially the Deuteronomy 28 covenant. It is in two sections. Verses 1 to 14 describe the blessings of obedience. However, verses 15 to 68 describe in great detail the consequences of disobedience. History tells us that tragically, they disobeyed God's laws. The Israelites therefore experienced the consequences of that choice, specifically,
"And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord will drive you." Deuteronomy 28 verse 37. "You shall be plucked off from the land which you go to possess. Then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples, from one end of the earth to the other." Deuteronomy 28 verse 63 to 64.
God's people disobeyed him many times and caused God's anger to rise up. Yet even when he allowed them to go into captivity for a time under Nebuchadnezzar, 6th century BC, that exile was both temporary and limited, i.e. to Babylon only. They came back. The second Exodus we shall look at later cannot be the Babylonian exile for two very simple reasons. Firstly, the Jewish people were not scattered all over the earth. They were taken into exile into Babylon. Secondly, Babylon is east of Israel, and the second Exodus is from the land of the north and from all the countries to which they were scattered. Moscow, the capital of the old Soviet Union and now of Russia, lies due north of Israel.
"They shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given as an inheritance to your fathers." Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 18.
In AD 70, the Roman Emperor Titus, in response to the Jewish revolt, sacked Jerusalem, resulting in the scattering of many Jewish people. The second revolt, some 60 years later, led to the scattering of those who remained. Remarkably, they maintained their identity for almost 2,000 years, experiencing all the curses of Deuteronomy 28, until God chose to give them back their homeland in accordance with his promises and bring back his chosen people. The state of Israel was miraculously reborn in 1948. It has survived war after war. Unfortunately, for many centuries, the church has taught that God has abandoned his people and that the covenant promises to the nation of Israel have passed to the church. This replacement theology teaches that God's promises to Israel are void and are now the property of the church. While it remains true that the church became partakers of the covenants and God's promises, it is nevertheless equally true that God has not, did not, and will not ever abandon Israel as his chosen people, even during times of discipline. The prophet Jeremiah gives Israel the most wonderful promises from the Lord.
Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 to 4. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the ends of the earth. Jeremiah 31, verse 8. He who scattered Israel will gather him. Jeremiah 31, verse 10.
These prophecies have never been fulfilled in full. In order to make the point unequivocally, God links his faithfulness to the very existence of the earth.
Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night? If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Jeremiah 31, verses 35 to 36.
God then repeats it to emphasize the certainty.
If heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Jeremiah 31, verse 37.
Clearly, the sun and moon have not ceased shining in line with God's declaration that Israel will remain a nation before him forever. Down through the years from AD 70 to 1948, Israel remained a nation in God's eyes. Then something happened. In 1947, the United Nations voted to partition Palestine, thus paving the way for the declaration of the State of Israel in May 1948. The nation was reborn. The Jewish people were back in their land with their own identity, territory, and language. It truly was the hand of God. But history has not ceased, nor has opposition to God's purposes in history. Despite all attempts to strangle the new nation at birth, Israel prevailed and has done so, despite ongoing attempts to destroy her. But God has not finished with his people. The wonder is that he has plans for Israel and is watching over his chosen people. He will bring them back to their land and fulfill every promise made. There will be a second Exodus, bringing his people back from oppression to their homeland. It will be even more significant than the first Exodus from Egypt.
Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land, which I gave to their fathers. Jeremiah 16, verses 14 to 15.
Firstly, they will come through fishing and encouragement. Afterwards, persecution will drive them home. It is plain for all to see that anti-Semitism is increasing. Right now, God is allowing a period of grace or fishing. Gustav's testimony tells but a part of what God is doing and how he is using Operation Exodus, the operational arm of Ebenezer Emergency Fund, to fulfill his purposes. We are witnessing history being made before our very eyes. It is time for the church to be challenged into action. It is time to love God's chosen people as the prophetic fulfillment of God's plan for their homecoming takes place.